Today on my Gospel Truth broadcast, I'm going to continue to talk about healing, and specifically, I'm going to answer some of the questions and criticisms that people have had about healing, trying to say that it's not God's will to heal every person. I think this will help you, so stay tuned for the Gospel Truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. I'm now into our third week of teaching on God Wants You Well. And I tell you, we've already covered a lot of material on this. I've tried to really emphasize that you must believe that God wants you well, that it is God's will for you to be well. Not just that God can do it, but that God has already done it. It is a part of what He provided for you, that the Lord doesn't want you to be sick any more than He wants you to sin. He has forgiven you of your sins, and He's also provided healing for you all through the atonement of the Lord Jesus. If you waver on that at all, then you will not see healing come to pass in your life. Any more than if you wavered on that God could forgive you of your sins, but you aren't sure He wanted to. I've met a number of people who believe that God forgave other people, but they thought they were just too bad. They didn't believe that it was already a done deal, that their sins had already been forgiven. And because of that, I've met people who knew that salvation was available and that it was real, but they just couldn't believe that it would work for them. If Satan can make you think that this is optional, that healing is optional, then you'll never receive it. So you must believe that it's for you. And then we taught on what about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And I've spent a number of days talking about that. If you've missed any of this teaching, I encourage you to please get our teaching materials. Matter of fact, today's going to be the last day that I offer you the second tape in this series that I'm doing. This second teaching is entitled, What About Paul's Thorn in the Flesh? And today's our last day to offer that. So please go to the effort of getting this. And also, we have these Healing Journeys, Volume 1, that have five different testimonies on there of people who have been healed. We've already seen two of them on our television programs. We're going to show another one. We're going to show all five of these throughout this entire healing series, and I believe it's going to be a real blessing to you. So real quickly, let me just say that I was teaching that Paul's thorn in the flesh did not come from God. It came from Satan. It says that very clearly, 2 Corinthians 12:7. It was a messenger of Satan, not a messenger of God. It wasn't to keep him from being exalted in an ungodly way, but exalted in a godly way. Satan did not want Paul magnified in the sight of the people. So instead of all of the good things that God was doing in his life, Satan ascribed a demonic messenger to him that just persecuted the Apostle Paul everywhere he went. The Apostle Paul said himself that he didn't know exactly what was going to happen, except that he knew that bonds and afflictions abided him everywhere he went. When Paul went into a new city, one of the first things he did was go check out the jail, because he knew he was going to wind up there. It's like when we drive in, we go check out a hotel and pick which one we want to stay in. Paul just went by the prison and said, keep a spot for me. I'll be there sooner or later. Paul was persecuted, and he talked about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, it seems like that us, the apostles, were set forth last. We are persecuted. You are blessed. Everybody thinks you're doing great. They think we're crazy, but they revere you. And he says, it seems like that we are the rejects, like nothing works for us. It's because there was a demonic messenger assigned to him. And anyway, we dealt with all of that. I'd love to go back through that because I know that there's people watching this program that didn't hear all of that, and you are going to bring your previous interpretation of Paul's thorn in the flesh with you, and it's going to hinder you in receiving your healing. I encourage you, if you really want to walk in healing, you need to get this resolved, so please get those materials. Let me take another passage of Scripture that has been misused over here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 23. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, and he says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. And I've heard people before take this and say, well, here's Timothy, this guy who was so close to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul says, I have no man who is like-minded, who will naturally care for your estate. And so because of Timothy's close association with the Apostle Paul and this word infirmities right here, people just assume that Timothy had some kind of a chronic stomach problem or something. And if God wouldn't heal Paul's associate, well, then that means that it's God's will not to heal everybody today. You know, again, this is one verse. It is just a passing reference. That is terrible Bible interpretation. And you know, right now, I know that there's somebody who's interpreted, there's a minister who's interpreted this the way that this is, you know, the way I just described it. You have said that this is Timothy having some stomach problem. That's what your interpretation has been. You've preached that. And yet, you're having to agree with me right now that, you know, this is a sorry method of Bible interpretation. If you take this verse to say that Timothy had a chronic stomach problem and that the Apostle Paul was saying it's not God's will to heal you, and if you can get that out of 1 Timothy 5:23, then you can get anything you want out of any passage of Scripture in the Bible. That is just not being honest. You know, in the first place, this is a passing reference, so it shouldn't be a major doctrine one way or the other. I don't make a major doctrine out of this. But I believe it's a lot easier to understand that in this day and time, that the people, you know, the water was contaminated. You know, when I first traveled throughout Europe back in 1968, in every one of those countries, even in the United Kingdom, I know that this program is being viewed in the United Kingdom and all across Europe, but I remember as an American tourist that they had us drink, you know, purified water back then because you could get sick through it. And especially in some of the European countries, and especially if you go into some of these countries today, like I've been to India, and in India there were some people, Americans who went over there and drank the water straight out of the tap and it nearly killed them. You're supposed to drink purified water. Not every place on the face of the earth today has drinkable water. And in the days of the Apostle Paul and Timothy, I can guarantee you there was a lot of plagues, there was a lot of problems in the water. And all Paul is saying to Timothy is, don't drink the water anymore. Drink wine instead of the water. So for your stomach's sake, so this was some kind of an amoeba or virus or whatever it is that you get through drinking the water that was bothering his stomach, and it produced infirmities. And Paul just told him, quit drinking the water, drink wine so that you won't get this waterborne contamination and get sick. Boy, that's not a major doctrine. That's not a big deal. That's the same thing that we tell our students. We don't tell them to drink wine, amen. We tell them to drink bottled water or something when they go on their missions trip to Africa and to India and to all of these places because you could get sick drinking the water. I tell people the same thing. This isn't some scriptural stamp of approval on the fact that God wants some people sick. And if you try and make it say this, you just aren't being honest with Scripture. It's just not honest. And you may be offended at me saying that, but you know what? Somebody needs to just stand up and say the truth, because that is not honest interpretation of Scripture. And hopefully, if you do have any integrity at all, you'd have to admit that that's making a mountain out of a molehill. That's just saying, don't drink the water, it'll make you sick. That's all that's saying. And apparently, Timothy had been drinking the water. You know, I don't know this, but it's possible that Timothy was trying so hard to stand in faith and to walk in healing that he might have taken that scripture like Mark chapter 16, where the Lord said, you can drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you. And maybe he was just refusing to drink wine. He was going to drink that water and he was going to walk in supernatural health. And yet he was struggling because of the contamination that was in that water. And Paul just said, Timothy, don't, you know, choose your battles better than that. Don't drink contaminated water. Drink something that will not make you sick. Really simple. Over here in 2 Timothy and in chapter 4, and in verse 20, it says, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus hath I left at Miletum sick. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking. Trophimus was a man who traveled with him. He was like one of Paul's helpers and traveled with him. And Paul just made reference to the fact that he had left Trophimus at Miletum sick. Miletum was a little island, and he just left him there. And again, I've heard people take this and say, now, here is an associate of Paul's. And if anybody was going to be healed, it would have been the Apostle Paul and the people that traveled with him. And if Trophimus gets sick, then that proves that it is not God's will to heal everybody. You know, that would be the exact same thing as somebody looking at some of the people who travel with me. And if they get sick, then that proves that it's not God's will to be well. That doesn't prove that. If I get sick, it doesn't prove that it's not God's will for me to be well. It just means that I failed to receive it. But, you know, I'm not saying that I'm perfect in this area. If I got sick tomorrow, it shouldn't affect anybody's faith. But I am saying that I have stood in the Word. I have renewed my mind to the degree that it's been 38 years since sickness has won in my life. I've been able to overcome it. And when everybody around me gets sick, I stand and I stay well because of what the Word says. Now, it's not because I'm better than anybody else, but this is an area that I've exerted myself in. I've renewed my mind, and the Word works, and the Word has separated me from that. Again, if I get sick tomorrow, it doesn't mean that it's God's will that for me not to be well. It's just a statement about me not being able to receive. And if somebody who travels with me gets sick, that doesn't mean that somehow or another that it's not God's will to produce healing in people. It just means that every single person has to believe God for themselves. You know, God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has people, first generation, that have personal relationship with Him. People don't get healed by osmosis, being close to me. That's silly. And yet there's people that think that. Did you know we actually had a man that one time, he called in and he wanted to stand next to me for 30 minutes. And he started pressuring people and he started putting money on it. He was going to pay $50 and then went up to $100 if he could stand next to me for 30 minutes. Now, most of you hear something like that and think, that's stupid. Well, I agree. It's stupid. You don't get the anointing by osmosis. Standing next to me isn't going to make somebody blessed just because I'm blessed, and because I'm healed isn't going to make somebody else heal. And yet when somebody says something like this, well, Trophimus was sick and he was an associate of Paul's, and so that proves that it's God's will not to heal everybody. It doesn't prove anything. You don't get healed by osmosis, just standing close to somebody who is healed, or somebody who is anointed, or somebody who is believing God. Boy, that is, again, feeble interpretation of Scripture. And yet, this is what people do who criticize healing. They come with things like this, and they're grabbing at straws. They're making something out of nothing. You know, it's just as possible. I don't know why Trophimus was left at Miletum sick, but it's possible that Trophimus was believing God, and he just was struggling, and it took a little bit of time for his healing to manifest. And Paul was ready to go, and he didn't want to sit around for 2 or 3 days and miss a ship and miss his opportunity to go on. And so he just left Trophimus there. It doesn't say that Trophimus stayed sick. It didn't say that this was chronic. It didn't say that he never got healed. I tell you, for people to say things like that, they are just making something out of these passages of Scripture that aren't there. And I want to encourage those of you that have heard these lame attempts to explain away healing by talking about Trophimus being left at Miletum sick, and Timothy drinking wine instead of water, and Paul's thorn in the flesh, and people who've twisted those Scriptures to try and teach against healing. You know what? If you've heard those lame attempts, and if you've heard what I've had to say, and if you accept it and acknowledge that these things are true, which I don't see any other interpretation of them, then you know what? I'd encourage you that you need to get away from that. If people are going to try and twist those Scriptures like that to make their point and to reinforce their belief, then you know what? The chances are that they're probably twisting other Scriptures on things. That is just not honest Bible interpretation. These Scriptures, when you're talking about healing, they shouldn't be used for or against healing. because Paul's thorn in the flesh was not talking about some sickness. It was talking about an infirmity, which the context said was persecution, necessities, distresses, persecutions, and things like this. And so Paul's thorn in the flesh isn't talking about sickness. Trophimus isn't talking about that it's not God's will for you to be well. Paul's statement to Timothy that he should not drink water any longer. None of these things should be used for or against healing. We ought to just go to the Word where it says, by His stripes we were healed, Isaiah 53:5. And it's interpreted in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, where it says, this is the fulfillment of that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, that He Himself bare our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. If we would let the Word speak for itself, if we would look to the example of Jesus, and it says that He was the express image of the Father, that He only did what He saw His Father do, and yet Jesus healed every single person. It says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Notice that healing is good, and that the people who were sick were oppressed of the devil, not oppressed of God. If we would take the very Greek word sozo and look at it, where it says that it means healing just as much as it does forgiveness of sins. If we would let the Word of God be true and speak for itself and not try and bring up these things that are obscure and that you have to twist them to be able to make your point. If you would just let the Bible speak for itself, I believe that you would have to come to the conclusion that Jesus died for the healing of your body just the same as He died for the forgiveness of your sins. For you to be sick is no more pleasing to God than it is for you to be in sin. Well, that's a strong statement. And I know that a lot of people don't put those two things together and they say, how dare you say that? But that's the reason that they're sick. You know what? I fight sickness the way I fight sin. And I know that many of you are thinking, well, that is absolutely weird. You know what? I believe that if you would study the Word, you'd find out that it would be weird not to fight sickness the way that you do sin. Sickness is a result of the fall. When God created Adam and Eve, there was no such thing as sickness. Sickness came as a result of the fall. And it says in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was teaching us how to pray, and He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will going to be done in heaven? Well, over in the book of Revelations, we see that there is going to be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more tears, no more pain. That the tree of life is there and that the leaves are for the healing of the nations. And there is not going to be any more sickness. And Jesus said, pray that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The original creation was not with sickness. It came as a result of sin. Sin and sickness entered the earth together. Sin, sickness, and death entered together. And Jesus has redeemed us from sin, sickness, and death. The last enemy that's going to be destroyed is death, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And that we now can pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, I tell you, I think that these are powerful truths. And if we would start walking in this healing, it would do a number of things. One thing it would do, it would take away a lot of Satan's oppression against you. You know, in the same way that you don't want your children to be sick. I've been with many, many parents when their children were suffering. I've been in hospitals where children are dying. And I tell you what, it's hard on people. It's hard on families. I've seen a lot of people hurt through this. I've experienced the death of my own son. Praise God that the Lord raised him from the dead. But I went through a period of time where, you know, as far as physical facts went, he was dead. He was dead for 5 hours. And I know what it means to lose a child. And that's not from God. It would set you free on an individual level if you were to start receiving the healing. It would solve a lot of heartache, hurt, and pain. And it would cause so much thanksgiving. Your relationship with God would abound if you were to start seeing the miraculous healing power of God in manifestation for yourself, for your children, for the people that you love and that you're praying for. I guarantee you, it would cause a tremendous amount of thanksgiving. And just like it did in the Bible, Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, I believe it's around verse 10, He says, "But that you may know that I have power on earth to forgive sins, then said He to the sick of the palsy, rise, take up your bed, and walk." It would cause people to believe in God. It would cause revival. Man, people are praying for revival and begging and pleading with God as if it's just up to God whether there's revival, whether people are excited about Him and seeking Him. That's not up to God. God has placed revival on the inside of us. He's put this raising from the dead power on the inside of every born-again believer, and He told us to go out and heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and raise the dead. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. And instead of begging God for revival, if we would go to believing what the Word says, and if we went out and started speaking the Word of God and started seeing the blind eyes open and the deaf ears open and miracle upon miracle upon miracle happening, if we started experiencing that, I guarantee you, you'd have all the revival you could handle. You know, go into your work the next time you go in. If you're seeing this program early in the morning, go into your work, and when somebody starts talking sickness and talking about pain and how their back hurts them and how they got asthma and rheumatism and how they've had a headache and how they aren't able to sleep or, you know, just whatever it is, go up to them, and you don't have to beat them over the head with the Bible, but just tell them, says, "You know, I believe that God heals today." Tell them if you've ever been healed. If you haven't been healed, tell them about the testimonies you've seen here on this program. Encourage them to listen in. We're going to be playing more testimonies of people who have been healed. Plant a seed. Start telling them about healing. And if they respond positively and say, "Well, do you think that God would heal me if you were to pray?" You pray for them. And just be bold and speak to them. And you get that person healed. And they come in the next day and they slept all night and they don't have pains and their cold is gone, their asthma is gone. I guarantee you, you'll be able to start revival. You'll be able to start leading people to the Lord. And that's powerful. I believe that that's the method that Jesus used to evangelize. He met their physical needs and the people were so touched that then they opened up their heart to Him in gratitude, and they wanted whatever else He had to offer, and He would lead them into relationship with His Heavenly Father. But we're trying to just come along and say, here's Almighty God who doesn't care a thing about your physical body. He doesn't care about your emotions. He doesn't care about your finances. He doesn't care about your family. He's liable to make one of your kids mentally retarded to teach you something. And then we'll turn around and say, now, wouldn't you like to serve a God who sends tragedy like this, who brings hurricanes and destruction and earthquakes? Man, that's a hard sell. But you turn around and start telling people that God is good and demonstrate it by start ministering the healing power of God to them. And I guarantee you, when people receive, they'll start turning to the Lord and they'll want to serve a God who loves them and that can heal and that is still alive and doing miracles today. You know, we're out of time today, but we are going to continue our teaching on healing on tomorrow's broadcast. So I encourage you to listen then. And also, today is my last day to offer you the second teaching in this album that we have entitled, God Wants You Well. This second teaching is a gift to you. If you could not or would not send any money for it, we'll give it to you as a gift. But today's our last day to make the second teaching in this album available. So listen as our announcer gives you this information, and please call or write today.
Andrew's teaching titled, God Wants You Well, has impacted thousands of people, producing miracles of healing around the world. We've collected 5 miracle stories in one DVD that will inspire you and supercharge your faith. You'll witness the powerful recovery of Nikki Oshinsky after a 5-year illness, plus a brand new interview filmed 7 years later. You'll be inspired by the Petersons' year-long journey to see their son Jason receive a dramatic healing, and Shirley Vaughn's fight for total health against a lifelong digestive disorder. Rejoice at Leslie and Mary Decker's healings from asthma and the Terades family's journey to seeing their daughter Hannah snatched from the jaws of death. The DVD is titled Healing Journeys Volume 1, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you request item number T3005D. The teaching that lies behind each of these miracles is Andrew's four-part album titled God Wants You Well. It's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for album T1036 and be sure to specify whether you'd like a CD album or a DVD album made from our television programs. The second teaching in this series is also available for a donation. But if you're unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching TI2 titled What About Paul's Thorn in the Flesh? When you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'd like to remind you once again that today is our last day to make this second teaching in this four-part set available to you as a gift. This teaching is entitled, What About Paul's Thorn in the Flesh? And it'll cover what I've talked about the last few days. And it would really help you, and it would really help you to share this truth with someone else. I know that many of you have received this for yourself. The Holy Spirit has borne witness with it, and yet you might struggle to be able to come up with all of these references and share these things with other people. Well, this CD or DVD would be a great way to do that. So please listen as our announcer gives you information and call or write today.
You can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Plus, there's a wealth of free ministry material at www.awmi.net. Or you can use credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
Hello, this is Andrew Womack, and I want to just encourage you to check out our Charis Bible College in Chennai, India. We have some of our graduates, Russ Forgeston, David, his son, and Judith, his daughter-in-law, that have been in India for well over a year, maybe 2 years now ministering, and now they are starting this Charis Bible College of India, and they're going to take the things that not only have worked in their life, but they have been ministering and sharing these truths with other people, and they've been seeing Indians' lives change. And I believe you could be one of them. And you know, the most important thing you will ever do in your life is to take the Word of God into your life and let it transform you. I know that in India, there is a tremendous emphasis put on education, and it's a way of advancing yourself, improving your status in life, and I understand that. But I can promise you that there is nothing more important than you understanding God's Word. Whatever it is that God is leading you to do, you'll do it better. You'll do it with more effectiveness if you put God first. So I'd like to just encourage you to put God first. And this Bible college is a tremendous way of doing that.
For more details, call our helpline at 719-635-1111.
So God bless you as you seek first the kingdom of God.